Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you to today's episode. Today is February 5th, 2007, and I just want to say that it's been a very, very cold, wintry, nasty weather here. The last couple of days have been bitterly, bitterly cold. In fact, yesterday morning, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that it was a balmy 5 below, and then with the wind chill, it was a negative 28. And so I was joking with him. I said, wow, you know that it is so cold. It's probably colder here than it is in Alaska. So after I got off the phone, I went online, went to weather.com, and I checked it. And actually, most of Alaska was in the 30s, and it was a, like I said, a negative 5 yesterday morning. So I did not get up. I didn't go to church. I didn't go to anything. I didn't even leave the house yesterday. It was that cold, and I didn't want to bother. But the good news is that I got to spend some time with Joe this weekend, and I got to see him on Friday night when I got back after a long, horrific week up in Michigan, and it was just bitterly, bitterly cold. I mean, we go from one extreme to another, and if I had to choose between global warming to causing more cold or global warming to make it warm in wintertime, then I choose the wintertime with warmness. But anyway, I wanted to do different things, and so I got to spend time with Joe on Friday night, and we just had a quiet time. We watched some TV and, you know, just relaxed and just talked, and it was really great. And like I said before, I really enjoy being with Joe, and we're getting better and better and closer, and it's just been a really nice. And then the next morning, he and I did some stuff around his house, and who did the laundry and all the BS stuff and cleaning and stuff. And then afterwards, later that evening, I took my mom and dad, and we went out to eat because they were going to be going down to Texas for a couple months, and I was jealous because I'm sure the weather is going to be a lot warmer than it is here. So that was nice, having a good dinner with them, and then we went back to their house and talked for a little bit. And then after that, we came back home to my place. And see, one of the things that he and I have done is that we've become serious addicts to a certain TV show. And I've been a big fan of it from the very beginning. And it's Alias. And see, the show's been on for like 5 seasons, and it's gone now. And I really love it because it's a spy show, and it's just really intense. And as the season gets further and further along, it's getting better and better, and I kick myself for not watching it then, but then I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because it allows Joe the opportunity to be able to watch the show together. And because I watched most of the first season, which I really enjoyed, but then like the last 5 or 6 episodes I didn't have to watch, and then because I didn't watch those, then I didn't watch the second, the third, and then I just got way behind. And so what happened is that, you know, we've been watching it. We watched the first season, then we got to the second, and now we're in the middle of season 3, and I happen to think that season 3 is better than the other two. So if you haven't watched it, I would definitely encourage you to do so. If you like that kind of thing, if you like the James Bondish kind of stuff, then you would really love the show. So get on Netflix or wherever you can get your DVDs and check it out, because it's really, really good. And it gets, I mean, it's just amazing. And see, the great thing about watching it on the DVD is that because it is a suspenseful show, and they tend to leave the show a lot of cliffhangers, that you're not, you know, watching it and they go, damn, I got to wait a week to watch the rest of it or find out what happens. You can just fast forward and you're right there. So that's one of the big pluses. It's kind of like having a DVR and, you know, being able to record a show, and then you can fast forward to the boring commercials and get right to the part of it. And, you know, again, that's the same thing about another show that I like that is available right now on NBC. It's that Heroes show. So, again, I love this show. It's all Joe's fault. He got me addicted. So if you haven't got a chance to check it out, I would definitely do so. It's on NBC Monday nights. Check it out. And also you can go to NBC.com, and you can go back and watch some of the older episodes. I don't know how far back you can go, but it is really, really, really good. So, and then that leads up to, then that was Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I normally go to church, but it was so cold. And like I said, it was 5 below, 28 below with a wind chill. I just said, no. So I didn't go, and then I just got to spend some time with Joe, and that was really wonderful, and I really enjoyed it. And we just had a quiet morning. We had breakfast, and I made some awesome French toast. And then we watched some more Alias. We did some work. He did some work. And, you know, again, we just spent the rest of the day just relaxing. And then he had to leave because he's a nice guy and he helps out his sister by watching his her kids. And so that's really cool. And then that evening I had yet another homo movie night. And I have to tell you that this movie was a big surprise, and I'll tell you why. Because it was really unbelievable because of how it all came about of me getting this movie. And see, the thing is that I have to tell you that I love doing this show, and I love finding new people to be on the program, and I love how I'm able to meet one person and they're able to, you know, connect me to another person, and it just goes on and on and on about how it's been able to happen. Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Lewis, which I've talked about on my previous show, and he works for TLA Releasing, and he's been a big supporter of the program by doing the movie at the GLBT Center that I told you about. We were able to raise a lot of money for the center, and it went really, really well. And what happened was I've been continuing to talk with him, and about a week ago I got an email from him telling about a new movie that was coming out, and it hasn't even hit the movie festivals, you know, the film festivals all over. And so he said that if he'd like to, I'd be happy to get a book out as well as a screener DVD out to you so that you can be able to look at it and then be able to possibly do some interviews with some of the cast, the writer, the director, and then also the author of the book. And I was like, so I wrote him back right away and I said, I would love to get a copy of this. And so that's what he did. And I got it at the end of the week, and I was, you know, and I looked at the book, and it looks really amazing. And then I had all my homo friends come over, and we had a house full of people. And it just shows you how gay we are that we watched the movie. And we watched a little bit of the Super Bowl, but we watched mostly the movie. So that just shows you how gay we are. But as many of you probably listen to the show, you're probably going, hey, I'm right there with you. I wish I could have seen the movie. The thing is that you are going to want to see this movie because it was absolutely incredible. The acting was great. They had a lot of people I had never seen before. And there was one actor that I have seen before, and he was the lead actor of Noah's Ark. And I'm really hoping that I can get him on the program because he's really a great actor, and I really, really enjoy Noah's Ark. And if you hadn't had a chance to see that, and his name is Daryl Stevens, and it also has Derek Magar, Magyar, and he is absolutely adorable, got eyes to die for. And there's just a long list of wonderful actors in this movie. And the name of the movie is called Boy Culture. And I wanted to do kind of a little heads up for you because I want to make sure that if you live in the following cities, I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to go see this movie because it is excellent. It is worth it. The book is available and it's been out for a while, but I just want to give you the heads up on this. On March 27th, 2007, the movie will be available in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And April 13th, it'll be available in Chicago, Atlanta, Palm Springs, Dallas, and Washington, D.C. Then on May 4th, it's going to be in Boston. On August the 20th, it'll be in San Diego. And then August 27th, it'll be in Seattle and Minneapolis. And, of course, I'm sure it'll be in all the other cities at a later date. But it is absolutely amazing, and it's also won a lot of awards already. It's also won the Grand Jury Award in Philadelphia Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. It won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Screenplay at Outfest 2006. It also won a Jury Award for Best Director in Madrid, and it also won a Programmers Award and for Best of the Fest at the 2006 London International Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. So it's just an amazing movie. And I'm not going to say too much about it, but I just want to say that it was an incredible movie, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to talk with Lewis about possibly showing this movie at the GLBT Center for a future event because it's really an incredible movie. And it's done very, very well. I mean, I think it's done very, very well all over the world. And I really think it's going to be a big hit in the gay community. So I definitely want you to check it out. Again, it's called Boy Culture. And it's written by by a gentleman by the name of Matthew. And his last name is, I'm not going to pronounce it, R-E-T-T-E-N-M-U-N-D. Renton Mudd, I guess. Well, oh well. But again, I can't tell you enough. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie. I thought it was very good. The acting was awesome. And looking at good-looking men doesn't hurt either. So so all the guys in my who watched the movie thought it was very, very good. So definitely check that out. Now, one of the things I wanted to tell you about is that I was listening to some other podcasts, and they were simply talking about, you know, the fact about trying to be happier in your life and trying to you know, look at life a little bit differently. Because I know some of the other podcasts that I've listened to, sometimes they tend to dwell on a little bit of the negative things, and they don't look at the things in positive. And then there's people like John Ong who presents himself as always positive. But a little while ago, he did a show about where he's talking about how, you know, of course, he can't be that way all the time. And see, one of the things that I had received today in my mail, actually, which I thought was really... really good, and I thought that I would go ahead and share this with you, because I think that it's you know, it really is an amazing thing, and I just want to read it for you right now, and I hope that you like it, because I really think that it's important, and I really think that it's important to think about this, because it really gets you thinking about life and what you're doing, and also because I really feel that it's a positive thing for you to do, is to try to look things more in a positive way. Because if you dwell on the negative, then what happens is you get depressed and anxiety, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, and I know I'm guilty of this, especially when I broke up with my ex. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible time. I was working too damn much. I was gone a lot. And but then in a way, I think by me being gone and working, that it helped me not dwell on the negative of the broken up relationship, and it ended up being one of my best years, you know, and it, then because of that, it ended up allowing me to make more money, which allowed me to pay off the bills that I had because of my ex. And so by something negative happening, I was able to focus my energy in a more positive way, and then it ended up coming back to me in a more positive way. So therefore, I'm in a much better financial situation right now. I'm much better emotionally, mentally, physically, everything. And so what I like to do is just read this to you, and I hope it's not too boring, but what it says is that we convince ourselves that life will be better once we're married, have a baby, and then another, you know, about relationships, things like that. And then we get frustrated because our children or our family, it says children here, are not old enough, and that all will be well when they're older. And then it says, then we're frustrated because they reach adolescence and we must deal with them. Surely we'll be better when they grow out of their teen years. And then it says, oh, we'll tell ourselves our life will be better when our spouse gets his or her act together, when we have a nice car, when we take that vacation, when we finally retire. And then the truth is that there's no better time to be happy than right now. If not, then when? Your life will always be full of challenges. It's better to admit as much and then decide to be happy in spite of it all. And then it says, for the longest time, it seems that life was about to start real life. But there'll always be some obstacle along the way, an ordeal to get through, some work to be finished, some time to be given, a bill to be paid, then life will start. I finally came to understand that these obstacles were life. The point of view helps me see that there isn't any road to happiness. Happiness is the road. So enjoy every moment. Stop waiting for school to end, for return to school, to lose 10 pounds, to gain 10 pounds, for work to begin, to get married, for Friday evening, for Sunday morning, waiting for the new car or your mortgage to be paid off, for spring, for summer, for fall, for winter, for the 1st, the 15th of the month, for your song to be played on the radio, to die, to be reborn, before deciding to be happy. Happiness is a voyage, not a destination. There's no better time to be happy than now. Live and enjoy the moment. And see, one of the things I wanted you to think about, because this is really true. I mean, I want you to think about the next question I'm about to ask you. Now, think and try to answer these questions. Name the 5 richest people in the world. Name the last 5 Miss Universe winners. Name the last 10 Nobel Prize winners. Name the last 10 winners of Best Actor Oscar. And you could probably answer some of those. But the thing is that I bet that you probably can't do it. And the thing is, it's rather difficult, isn't it? Now, don't worry. Nobody remembers this shit. You know, applause dies away. The trophies gather dust. And winners are soon forgotten. And the thing that really touches true with me on this is that, like, I don't know if I told you about this on the podcast, but You know, I am a sales rep, and one of the things that we always do is we always strive to reach our monthly goal. We always try to reach the sales goal for the month and then, of course, for the year. Well, last year, for 2006, every single month, I was pretty much consistent with exactly what I needed to do. And then, unfortunately, November and December ended up, you know, being not as great. And so I missed the budget by a couple thousand. Well, then when it came all done and we finally totaled up my numbers, guess what happened? I was 99.73% of my goal. Okay? So 0.2% of 1%, 0.27 of 1%, I missed reaching my goal. Now, what's going to happen when I have my sales meeting coming up in the month of March is that they're going to be giving away these awards, these little plaques, for the people they call the 100% Club. And they give them these away. And, you know, at first I was really disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to get that award. But then I realized that all that award is going to do is just gather dust. Do you think people give a rat's ass that I got it? Sure, you want to win and you want to look good in front of your peers. You want to, you know, possibly make bonus money if you make it. But the thing is that, is it really worth it? And I have plenty of other awards that are downstairs in a box that I have. But what good are they? I mean, the key thing is to always be motivated to have goals and things, but really, is it really matter? And so the key thing is that you need to concentrate on things that are more important. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like you to answer these questions. Okay, number one is name three teachers who contributed to your education or had an impact in your life. Can you do that? Number two, name three friends who helped you in your hour of need. Okay, think about that. And see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and tell you my answers. Number one is, name three teachers who contributed to your education. Well, the thing is, I clearly remember that there was Mr. Murray, Mr. Purcell, and there was another teacher that I'm unfortunately spacing out in college, who all really motivated me because they got to know me as a person and they got to really challenge me to continue to support me, and it really made me want to continue my education. And because I continue my education, I'm able to be in a much better place today. And so, if you're a younger person out there who is listening to the show, and if you're in high school or if you're in college and you've been kicking yourself about whether or not to continue, please do it, because the last thing I want you to do is go through the same bullshit that I had to go through when I was younger about, you know, whether or not I should continue school. Because it's easy to say, oh, I'll do it later. Well, then the next thing you know, it's 20 years later, and, you know, you don't have it, and you got a job that you're not making a lot of money. And see, the thing is, when I first started right out of high school, I was making a wonderful $18,000. And I was living month to month, and it was absolutely horrible for me, and I hated it. And I continued to work and excel and do better in sales. And now I'm making a lot more money than that because I have my bachelor's and I'm thinking about getting my master's. And so it's very important to continue to get your education. And it takes time, especially it costs money. But the thing is, in the long run, you're going to be able to benefit from it. And that's the key thing. I did an interview with this woman a while ago for one of my papers I had to do in college. And this woman was 65 years old. And the thing is, this woman wanted to get an education. And she did it. And there was a lady in my class who had been working for this company in the local area for 25 years. But one of her goals was she wanted to get her education, and she did it. And she's one of the nicest people I've ever met. But the thing was that she retired a year ago. She didn't need that education, but for her, it was something that she wanted to do for herself. And the key thing is you just got to look at the goals that you have in your life and strive for them, because you can get it. You just have to set your mind to it. Now, the other thing is, name three friends who have helped you in the hour of need. Okay, and the thing is that I've got more than that. But the thing is that my best friend Doug, he has been there through the thick and thin for me for the last 30 plus years, and I've been there for him. And no matter what it is, no matter what the challenges are, you know, he and I are always there for one another. And it's just been an amazing, incredible friendship. And then Another person is Dennis. He and I used to work together, and he is a great guy. He's married, and he's got two kids, and he's got a grandchild. And the thing is that when I will never forget the very first week that I met him, because he was kind of cocky, and I happened to be wearing a Notre Dame shirt at the time, and he's a big fan of Purdue, and he made this little sarcastic comment about, well, you keep your Purdue crap in, or I'll keep my Purdue crap in my office, and you'll keep your Notre Dame crap in your office. But what happened was, after that, we kind of started to bond, and we became really, really incredibly close. And the thing is that when I see him and I tell him about how I feel, he gets so choked up because of the fact that we've been there for one another. And it's just an amazing friendship, and because he's gone through a lot of challenges with his health, and then because he is an older gentleman, and he had lost his job like I did, several years ago. And the thing is that every single day I would look online, try to find him a job, and as well as looking for my job. And I would send him emails and tell him about jobs and postings, and, you know, send him letters of encouragement and call him, and we'd go out to dinner and stuff. And the thing is that we've really developed a wonderful bond because of that. And he's been a wonderful guy, and he's doing the same thing for me, because, like, right now, you know, I'm trying to find a local job for myself, and every now and then he'll send me an email and tell me things like that. And then the next one is, think of a few people who have make you feel special. And, you know, it's easy to say your family, because, of course, you know, for the most part, they have been there. And I have to tell you that, you know, my folks have been incredibly supportive. They've been, you know, very, very accepting of me and me being gay, and of course my partners, and now that I'm with Joe. You know, they treat Joe just like part of the family. And he is just a truly wonderful part of my life now. And he would be the other person that has really made me feel special, because I have to tell you that the last 4 months that's been with him has been beyond words, because my whole outlook on life, every single day that I look at things and I go, wow, you know, I'm so happy that I have Joe in my life, that I have someone that I can talk to, that I have someone that I can, you know, that can be there for me as well as I can be there for him. And we're not taking it for granted either. I mean, we really, really enjoy the time that we have together. And I really hope that you, if you don't have it now, I really hope that you can find that special someone, because I know what it's like to be in a long-term relationship and then have it end and then have a long period of nothing. And it's horrible, and it's really sad. But the key thing is that there is hope for you, and that it can happen. If it can happen to me, it can happen for anybody. And I just can't tell you how wonderful it feels, you know, knowing that I have Joe in my life. I mean, he's such a wonderful guy. And I mean, just the simplest things. Just like the other night, just sitting there on the couch, cuddling while we're watching the show and talking about it and eating popcorn. And, you know, just the stupidest little things really mean a lot to me. I mean, just the minor things. And a lot of people tend to take those for granted, you know. And I joked with my friends of mine after we started dating with Joe, and I said to him, I said, wow, I can't wait when I can have that conversation where my boyfriend did this and my boyfriend did that, you know, because it really means that you're in a relationship and that you care about him, you know, because you want to bitch about him. But, you know, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry. But now, the other thing is that, name five people that you would like to spend time with. Now, this is very easy, you know, for me, and I'm sure it would be for you, is that I want you to think about those people you want to spend time. Number one, of course, is going to be Joe. that's a given. Number two is Doug and Lana and the kids, because I love them to death, and, you know, they're very great friends, of course, Dennis. And then also, you know, the other thing that I love is that every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I have my home movie night. And I have to tell you that it's been my long-term dream to be able to have a group of friends that I can A, count on, number two, B, to be able to communicate with, and C, to be able to share some time together. And if you guys have those kind of friends, then I would encourage you to do the same thing. Every Sunday or whatever night's convenient for all of you, just get together, watch a movie, watch the game if you like sports, or, you know, go to a movie at the theater, or, you know, go bowling, whatever. Just come up with something that just gets you away from work and, you know, all the BS. And just enjoy yourself, because, I mean, it's truly been amazing, wonderful, enriching experience by doing that. And so I just want you to think about that. And now the thing that it says here, it says, isn't that more manageable? It's easier, isn't it? The people who mean something to your life are not rated the best, don't have the most money, haven't won the greatest prizes. They're the ones who care about you, take care of you, those who, no matter what, will stand close by. So think about this for a moment. You know, life is very short. And which list are you? Don't know? And so the thing is let me give you a hand. You're not among the most famous, but among those who I remember to send this message. So, and that's why I wanted to tell you this. And see, now I want to read something else. And it says, some time ago at the Seattle Olympics, 9 athletes, all mentally or physically challenged, were standing on the starting line for a 100-meter race. The gun fired and the race began, and not everyone was running, but everyone wanted to participate and win. And they ran in threes. A boy tripped and fell, did a few somersaults, and started crying. The other 8 heard him crying. They slowed down and looked behind them. They stopped and came back, and all of them, a girl with Down syndrome, sat down next to him, hugged him, and said, "Feeling better now?" Then all 9 of them walked shoulder to shoulder to the finish line. The whole crowd stood up and applauded, and the applause lasted for a very long time. People who witnessed this still talk about it. Why? Because deep down inside us, we all know that the most important thing in life is much more than winning for ourselves. The most important thing in this life is to help others to win, even if that means slowing down and changing our own race. And so I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about the people that mean the most to you right now. And be willing to tell them about it, you know, and share about it. Because that's one of the things that I think that is wrong or sad about this world, is that we don't communicate with one another. And that's why I really feel that it's important to talk about these things, to let it out and just be truthful about one another. And that's what I've been doing with Joe, is that I tell him when something happens, or, you know, I'm not happy about something, or a comment he says, or if I say something that he's upset about, you know, I want him to know that he can come to me, he can talk to me, and we're not going to get into a shouting match, and we're not going to yell and scream, you know, unlike my previous relationship. So the key thing is that you just have to be willing to look above yourself. And I guess that's one of the things that I wanted to tell you about, because I'm really practicing what I'm preaching. And, you know, and I'm not, you know, and I don't purposely go out of my way to, like, to hurt people like some other people that I know. And it's just amazing that if you really sit down and take a look at your life and look at what you have in it, and if you really look deep down, you're going to be able to see some wonderful things happen. And that you really are a lucky person. I mean, like, to give an example is that every now and then Joe makes a comment about his life, his job, the amount of money he makes, the place that he lives, and things like that. And for me, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I really know that no matter what happens in life, that I'm going to have a house, I'm going to have the car, I'm going to have the, you know, place to live. And the thing is that I do appreciate the things that I have in my life. And of sure, you know, everything could be better. I mean, things could be improved. I mean, I could make more money. I could have more toys. I could have all these things. But the bottom line is that I have a lot of the core basic things. And we were listening to NPR as we were driving to the store the other day, and one of the things that they were talking about is they had this guy that was disabled who lives in this house, and they have these prostitutes, and that one of them was a drug user, and she was putting this needle in her neck, and the guy walks in and finds her trying to put the needle in her neck, and they had no electricity except for this one room, no running water. I mean, it was just on and on. I mean, it was like ugly, ugly, horrible stuff. But the thing is, and I looked at Joe and I said, you know what? People who are listening to this show probably don't really appreciate the fact that they have a lot in their lives that they're not thankful for. They don't see it. And he says, yeah, you're right. And he says, it really makes you slap yourself and say, hey, wake up, smell the coffee. And so, okay, I'm going to get off my bandwagon now. But I just wanted to tell you that because I thought that it kind of touched a nerve. And, you know, and listening to the other podcasters, it really made me think about, you know, about myself and how I feel. So what I'm going to do now is I got a bunch of emails this weekend. And some of them were pretty, pretty funny. And I wanted to read them to you because I thought you might get a kick out of it, because I thought it was really, really good. So let me pull it up here And we're getting close to the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to be ending pretty soon. But I appreciate you listening as I rambled on and on about that, because I really think it's important to think about, and I really think that it is really good to do. Okay. Well, this email that I received from Joe, which I thought was really cute, it says, "You gotta follow the recipe." That's the name of the subject on this email. It says, "A man is showering in the locker room with his buddy when he noticed his friend was very well endowed. He said, 'Damn, Bob, you're hung,' Jim exclaims. 'Well, I always wasn't this impressive. I had to work for it.' 'What do you mean?' Jim asked. 'Well, every day for the past 2 years, I spent an hour each night rubbing my member with butter. I know it sounds crazy, but I actually made it grow 4 inches. You should try it.' A few months later, the two are in the same locker room, and Bob asks Jim how his situation is. Jim replies, 'I did what you said, Bob. I've actually gotten smaller. I've already lost 2 inches already.' 'Did you do everything I told you? An hour each day with butter?' 'Well, butter's pretty expensive, so I've been using Crisco instead.' 'Crisco!' Bob exclaims. 'Damn it, Jim! Crisco's a shortening!'" Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Boom! Okay, well, what'd you think of that one? You didn't like that one, did you? Oh, come on. You laughed. Jeez. You guys are a tough crowd. You guys are terrible. I mean, I got to tell you. Oh, and then another thing I have to tell you, there's blah, 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 blah. There's a picture that I have to tell you that I'm going to put on my Flickr account because I think it's really cute. And I'll tell you about it later. I love this joke. I think I might have told you before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because I really think it's good. Now, in my version, it's the opposite. So I'm going to read it the way I heard it. Okay? A man and woman were sitting beside each other in the first class section of the airplane. The man sneezed, took out a tissue, and gently wiped his nose, then visibly shuddered for 10 to 15 seconds. Thinking nothing of it, the woman went back to reading. A few minutes later, the man sneezed again, took a tissue, wiped his nose, and then shuddered violently once more. Assuming that the man might have had a cold, the woman was still curious about the shuddering. A few more minutes passed when the man sneezed yet again. As before, he took a tissue, wiped his nose, and his body was shaking even more than before. Unable to restrain her curiosity, the woman turned to the man and said, "I couldn't help notice, but when you sneeze 3 times, you wipe your nose and then shudder violently. Are you okay?" And he said, "Well, I'm sorry if I disturbed you. I have this very rare medical condition. Wherever I sneeze, I have an orgasm." The woman, even more than a bit embarrassed, said, "Well, I've never heard of that condition before. What are you taking for it?" And the man replied, "Pepper, of course." I love that joke. But I also have another one. I think I might have told you this one too, but it's a classic joke, and I think it's really, really funny. It's about a sales rep who happens to go to this house, and he sees a little boy sitting up on the front porch. And the salesman says, "Hey, little boy, is your mama home?" And the little boy says, "Yeah, she's out back." He says, "Oh, yeah? What's she doing?" He says, "Oh, she's out back screwing a goat." "What?" He says, "I can't believe you're talking about your mother like that. That is disgusting." So, "Well, she is. Come on, let me show you." So they walk around the house, and sure enough, the mother is having sex with that goat. And the salesman looks down at the little boy, and he says, "Don't you realize your mother can get pregnant by that goat?" And the little boy looks up and goes, "Nah." So, there's your bad jokes of the day. So, I'm going to go ahead and sign off right now, but I just would like to tell you that I really, really, really love hearing from you. I mean, you guys make my day when you leave a comment, you send me an email, which you can at rambleredhead@gmail.com. You can also go to the website, which is rambleredhead.com, and you can leave a message. And if you by chance know anybody else that you think will be a great person to interview for my program, please email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and you mean the world to me, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show. Hopefully this one didn't bore you too much. Hopefully you stayed through the end and you listened to my bad jokes. And if you have a bad joke you'd like to share, send it to me, and I'll read it on the air, because I think laughter is another big thing that we all need to get in our lives. So I want to thank you for being a big part of the program, and keep on listening to the Ramble Redhead Show. Bye-bye.